You about ready? From up your block and down your alley, this is Marty Ford, live on BBSRadio.com. You about ready is the name of the show. Marty Ford is my name, and BBS Radio is the vehicle, the conduit that brings us all together. We are live from the beautiful downtown basement of Bozo's Bar and Grill in Tonsawa Station. And as you know, if you've listened in the past, I am the original American Idol. Just sitting here, standing here, waiting here to bring you stuff to listen, learn, and laugh all at one time. Very rare you can get that these days. And we're even going to bring humor, and we're not going to mention body parts and things like that, which is pretty good. So we are here for another powerhouse hour before you shower to help you reach your ivory tower of things that will make you empowered to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. That's what we want to do here. We want to enrich, enhance, and enlighten your life so that you can become empowered, live a clean and sober and healthy, productive life using all the tools that we are offering here, one of which is critical thinking, because we need to critically think. And if when we don't, we sit there and say, say, man, why'd you do that? I wasn't thinking. Yeah, Gomer, you weren't. So enhance your critical thinking. Listen to the things that we bring to you every week. There's always one, sometimes two. I don't know what to do. Sometimes I get caught up in stuff and go on tangents and divert my attention away. But critical thinking, most important. Not so much consequential thinking, because if you're thinking critically, you're thinking about consequences for doing things that might not be in your best interest and in the best interest of the people in your world. So what'd you do this past week? Did you achieve a goal? You know, this is the fastest 60 minutes on radio, and I'm probably talking faster than I normally should, but I just have so much to say and get out points and messages and information and insanity and silliness and goofiness that we just move at a rapid pace. You know, in fact, I'm so slow I have to speed up to stop. So I'm really accelerating tonight, and I get that way because I come to you already juiced up. I'm juiced because I listen to my Big Five, and I, like I mentioned last week, I added the Commitment song, Nowhere to Run to, Baby, an old Motown song from the 60s, and the Commitments were a group, and they made a movie about their journey from the streets to some sort of form of success. It's a great movie. It's a great album, and Commitment is one of the power words that you're going to hear, if you haven't heard it already, from my book, Power Up Your Power. When you're committed to something, not to be committed. In fact, some people think I should be committed, but that's okay, right? That's a compliment, not an insult. Take that as a form of praise. But when you're committed to something, you are focused, you are concentrating, you're determined, you are resilient. All the power words that we use here evolve around each other. They're not just loose fragments hanging out there dangling like participles in poor grammar that we speak all the time and write. I don't know. Does anybody know how to write anymore? We do, but we need spell check. So when you use the power words and you use them in harmony and blend them together, it comes out real good and you feel good about yourself. And what's better than feeling good about yourself? So what did you do this week? Did you accomplish a goal? Did you stop doing something that is unhealthy for you, unfavorable for you, not in your best interest? Did you begin the journey towards recovering from something that is impeding you from progressing and being the success that you want to be? What did you do? A little thing, taking out the trash, cleaning up your environment, cleaning up your life, cleaning yourself, right? It all starts with the basic stuff, hopefully you learned as a kid. Because for some people, rehabilitation doesn't work. You know why? They've never been habilitated. And there's a lot of them out there. And there's a lot of them who need a recovery coach, which I do. They need somebody in their corner to support them, to be their sounding board. They need someone who will listen to them, because we have two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we talk. So we're here to do all that. We're here to entertain, enlighten, educate, and have some fun along the way, because the journey begins right now. In order to get there, first you have to leave. And if you've been listening to our show every Tuesday, 9 o'clock Eastern Time on BBSRadio.com, we left a long time ago. But there's always room for you to catch up without having a Heinz squeeze jar with you, right? We don't need that kind of catch up. We need you to catch up to yourself. And we'll bring you forward and let you keep going, empowering you to accomplish, as we say, more than you ever thought possible. So we start off with some critical thinking. Oh, as I said, it's the fastest 60 minutes on radio. We mentioned before, if you want to see how fast 30 days goes, just sign a loan at the bank, right? You'll go to bed tonight, waking up, and you got to pay it back tomorrow. It's almost like if you have kids, you put them in bed tonight after changing their diaper and giving them a bath and reading books to them and playing with them. You put them to bed. Next week, you're taking them to college if they're going that way, or to the airport to go in the military, or wherever they're going to travel after high school, right? Whatever they're going to do to learn and grow and prosper and experience life away from home, which they need to do, which we should be doing when they're little kids, letting them go out and play without us around. But we'll get into that another time because we want to get to some critical thinking. Oh, we're going to get to critical thinking a couple minutes into the show. So this is the fastest 60 minutes on radio. 30 days goes by when you sign a loan at the bank. But if you want time to go slowly, and you can watch it on PBR on TV, because I like them good old boys out there. They're always bull riding. You get on a bull and see how long 8 seconds go. You got a 2,000-pound angry piece of animal whose privates are clinched or cinched or pinched or all of the above, wrapped and tied, and he's an angry critter. And all he wants to do is get you off so he can become free. And so 8 seconds goes, it takes a long time. I watch that clock because it's an exciting thing. I don't know how these guys do it. You know, now they wear helmets with face guards. They wear chest protectors when they probably need much more protection because they are truly at high risk in a high risk situation. And that's very exciting how they do that. And they do well and they enjoy it. And I guess you have to be born into that like many other things. So 8 seconds goes very slowly when you're on top of the bull. And you'd buck two if you were tied that tight. And you know what, guys? That's no bull. I couldn't resist saying that because, you know, sometimes a pun is a little fun. All right, so last week's critical thinking brain buster was person lives in a 10-story building, gets in the elevator, gets out of the elevator. He lives on the 10th floor of a 10-story building, gets out of the elevator every day on the 7th floor, walks up 3 flights of steps to get to his apartment. The question is, why? Except on rainy days, he can get off at the 10th floor where his apartment is and go into his apartment without climbing up the 3 flights of stairs. And so the answer is, hey, he just can't reach button number 10. It's too high in the elevator. He can only reach number 7. He gets out on 7, walks up 8, 9, 10, he's in his apartment. But why on a rainy day? Because he brings an umbrella. He reaches up with the umbrella, pushes 10, boom, he's out at 10. That's last week, critical thinking, brain buster. They're a little silly, but you know what? If you're laughing at yourself, if you got it or you didn't get it, it makes no difference. You're learning, you're growing, and you're expanding your mind, right? And when you keep an open mind, you do even better. Hint, hint, hint. Next week's brain buster, we're going back to that same 10-story building. A person jumps off a 10-story building, lands feet first, walks away, not a scratch. Didn't even bust a sweating leaker coming out of his armpit. Nothing. Jumps off a 10-story building, lands feet first, walks away, not a scratch. How do you explain that? All right, so we'll give you that one next week if I remember to bring it over. You got to train your brain, right? Don't let everything go down the drain. Cliches. We always talk about cliches as the modern day profanity, words that are used, phrases that are used, language that is used as predictable. You almost hear it. You know it's coming before it happens, right? It's like, wow, I knew you were going to say that. That's right. Last week we had impact in one sentence. It was used 3 times by a highly educated expert in his field, right? In the past, some of our great ones, we love these cliches, just to give an example about what we are talking. Cliches, you know, utilize, impact, I said, hell bent, same page, transparency, critical mass, infused, flat out. He's flat out. Here's one from the military. Boots on the ground. Them good old boys love to say, boots on the ground, boys. Get over there and do some shooting, because that's what you're trained to do. But don't hurt nobody, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We're going to work out the kinks. let me be honest with you, that sends up flags. And of course, we're going to push the envelope, and we're living with the cutting edge technology. That might hurt, so stay away from the edges. I've ripped many a pair of pants rubbing up against the edge of the table. This week, cliches, just a few of them. One, unbelievable. I don't know how I waited so many months to bring this to the table. I didn't know how this happened. Now, why didn't I mention this before? This is everything unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Yes, it was unbelievable. Now I saw it. I believe it. But it's overused. It's abused. All these cliches are. The language, we use language like this to take the place of thinking of more appropriate words or language or phrases or anything. And sometimes we use it for shock value, which usually goes along with more profane cliches that you hear on other radio shows and actually everywhere now. So we have unbelievable. Why it took so long, I don't know. Now we have heads up. Now heads up, when we were kids playing in the street, that meant danger was coming. Cars were coming. We were playing ball in the street, football, box ball, stick ball, handball. Grew up in the city type environment. So we played in the streets a lot. See that, folks? We played. And nobody was there to supervise us, to oversee us, to micromanage, to harass and badger, and be rude and crude and socially unacceptable, right? And intimidate us. No, we just played. And we learned all the life lessons we carried forth into adulthood that hopefully we pass on to our kids. So they become empowered, so they can make decisions, so they don't have to go to head jockeys for anger management and conflict resolution. They learned all kinds of skills out there playing in the streets and in the fields and in the ballparks and at the playgrounds. And they still can do that today if we let them do it and get them out of all these extraneous things that they do to fill time, like time is filled on all these TV shows where all the cliches are embedded into the language, into the script, if you will. Right? We don't critically think. We don't have any form of independent thought and behavior. We're like robots and sheep, as they say. We're just following the flock because we don't let the youth experience life as youth should experience life. That teaches them life lessons that helps them along the journey to their success later in life, empowering them. They learn organization and time management and compromise and negotiation and teamwork and all the other great things that they take special classes for now, because you can't teach that stuff. You have to live it. You have to live. How many classes out there? How many courses can you take? How many experts can you talk are out there that will make the perfect resume for you? Well, the perfect resume is filled with stuff, substantial stuff, not made up, embellished crapola that you have to fill space in the way space is filled in the media. No, no, no. Experts have, because you don't know who's going to see that resume. You know, you might do it one way, and the guy who's interviewing, he might not like it that way. He might like a different format, so you're out. So there's no one neutral way of doing it. Just be open, honest, tell the truth in a simplistic manner, and you'll be fine. Get away from the frills. Sizzle doesn't sell. Steak does, right? The steak is more appealing when it comes on a wooden plank with a nice knife and an onion ring on top, if you're so inclined to eat this way. It's not appealing when it comes on a paper plate with plastic fork and knife and the juice is oozing all over the table and you. It's the same thing, but presentation is different. Keep it simple, what's expected and what is going to make the accurate statement truthfully about you. And forget all the other stuff. Let the other guys do that. You'll set yourself apart by being what? Open, honest, truthful. And boom. Who else, what more? Tell me about your character. You need references. No, I don't need references. I don't need you to hear other people tell you how good I am. I'm telling you. You don't believe me? Now you have to ask somebody else, right? Remember, we always doubt. When you tell someone the truth and they don't believe you, you have no recourse, right? Just no recourse. So we have heads up. Now, heads up today means watch out, danger is coming. Usually it's at work. I want to give you a heads up. The boss is coming. We're going to talk about bosses, right? We've all had bosses out there who we absolutely can't stand. We don't figure out how they got into a position of leadership and somewhat power. Where did they go? Because they have credentials? Because they sat through a course? They have no people skills? They hide in their office? They send electronic messages throughout? and ridicule people. Not only do they ridicule, what else do? They intimidate, threaten, and bully. They attack your personal dignity. They abuse. There's retaliation. They harass. They badger. They insult. They degrade. They belittle. They're the same people. If they have kids, many of them don't have kids because who would want to be with them? It's just nasty, crude people. But they're the ones who have kids, and they put them in these youth sports programs, and they want them to, and they're the ones on the sidelines causing all the problems. Because people who played rarely, if ever, and I've been doing it for, I did it for 10 or 15 years, and I'm still playing. The ones who play are usually the quiet ones on the sideline who are not overtly involved verbally. They're not yelling at the refs. They're cheering for their kids. They're not yelling at the other kids on the other team, right? They're not badgering them. I've seen proof of that. You have too if you have kids out there. It is awful. I say, put the parents in a little trailer, put a TV on, have two trailers, one for each team so they don't kill each other, right? Say, my kid's better than you. My dog's bigger than you. Oh, yeah, drop your pants. We'll see who's got what. Two trailers with a TV in there. Let them watch the game and get on their cell phone and let the kids play without all the crap that we, the parents, bring to them. And letting them play is the most important thing. So heads up is usually, which has changed meaning, like many words in our society today have changed meaning over time. People used to be gay. Now it's fashionable to be gay in some cases, but bullies are still out there and people still hate people who were that way. But way back when the definition was reversed, oh, wow, you're having fun. There was famous songs that had the word in it. But I think even one of the Christmas songs has it. I'm not sure. I don't have my Santa Claus costume on, so I can't remember the Christmas song. Now, heads up goes with these two. Watch your back. Right? Watch your back. I can't see my back. I can look over my shoulder to see who's coming, but I can't watch my back. I can barely wash my back without some help from a loofah on a stick. Right? Can't get back there. And the other one who's watching your back says, if you don't watch your back, I got your back. I got you on this. Right? I got your back. Now, those kinds of things have taken on new definitions, and that's real power is, folks, by the way. The power lies in definition. Just as anybody who writes law, they're going to write it to empower themselves and see what tidbits they can give us. So power lies in definition. If you don't think so, bring a dog home and fight over who's going to name it. The power of definition. So those are the cliches this week. You're going to hear, you hear them, you've heard them, you're going to continue to hear them because that's what we've been reduced to. That's what we've been reduced to. Speaking in cliches, which is just awful because that's not how you communicate. You're not going to get any your points across. You're just going to speak in a symbolic, nonsensical, just terrible way to communicate, which we have communication, but most people don't know how to do it. Just remember, you cannot not communicate. Everything you do is a communication, whether the denial of a communication, because denial, we know, is that long river, and the denial is the thing that everybody gets involved with. I didn't do it, but to deny communication in itself is a communication. This week's tidbit of useless information from my vast warehouse and storage facility. Did you know? A Jiffy, I sound like Sheldon on Big Bang Theory. I'm not that good, folks. That guy is smart. Or if he's not smart. He presents as smart. The writers are highly intelligent. They must have a team of scientific researchers and writers to put all that stuff together. I really enjoy that stuff, even though I don't know what they're talking about. Like many things in life. You know, I like the simple things in life, and that's why people get along with me, because I am very simple. A Jiffy is a measure of time. It's 1/100th of a second. So by the time I say it, it's already gone. I'll be with you in a jiffy. No, you won't. you went, came back 100 times, right? So you missed it. So that's a tidbit of useless information. 1/100th of a second. Well, the Winter Olympics are okay, even if you don't get to see the athletes using 100,000 condoms. It was distributed to them. But you know what? I like the Olympics. It's competitive. It's fun. It's entertaining. It's exciting. It's thrilling. But I'm more of a Summer Olympics guy. And like many people who grew up with Stevie Nicks as their fantasy world. We just can't wait for women's beach volleyball. I'm going to say it because just like magazines, we don't care about the stories. We tell you we like to read and hear about. It's the pictures and the visuals and our imaginations that drives and motivates and inspires us. So we're waiting for that. And someday there'll probably be pole dancing as an Olympic sport. That's soon to come, too. I don't think lingerie football will get in there. Maybe too difficult, too many injuries and so forth. But let's get on to the Summer Olympics. The Winter Olympics are good. I feel bad for what you've all heard, the horror stories coming out over there. We don't want to get into that anymore. We'll just hope for everyone over there to compete, do their best, and walk away with the satisfaction that they accomplished more than they ever thought possible, right? And that's great. People who bully become bullies, just like those who abuse and neglect and molest and violate and abandon and destroy emotions. You don't have to look far. Just be aware of behaviors. People who are doing that kind of stuff now, it happened to them when they were younger, and therefore they're repeating the cycle, right? And there's a coach, I think I mentioned this before, there was a coach in a college in New Jersey. He got fired for being abusive and physically and verbally abusing his players and all. And he got fired, and they showed pictures of it on the television, I'm sure all over the internet as well. And my point is, it's not limited to the playing field. It's not restricted to the basketball floor. This kind of stuff goes on at home, and you must feel compassion and hurt and pain for his wife and kids, if he so has them, because that stuff carries over. It's not limited to the court. So be careful. People who do that stuff now, we see examples of it all the time when you trace back. I just saw this football player for the Dolphins came out today, and he apologized for being so awful as a human being, for the harassment, the abuse that he put forth and others put forth to this one player who had to leave and give up a lucrative income because of these bullying type incidents. Now the guy apologizes for doing it. Well, there we go again. He apologized. We're going to forgive him. He's going to do it again, right? Because when you forgive somebody, you give him license and permission to do it again. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, good. You forgive me? I'm going to do it again. Watch out. Be careful. People like that shouldn't be out in society. They're just waiting to self-destruct, and if they do self-destruct, that's fine for them, but don't take anybody with you, right? Don't take anybody with you. Leave the people who want to do the right thing, because no one ever went wrong doing the right thing, who want to do the right thing, let them alone. Get away from this bullying mentality. I don't know where it comes from. It comes from, well, I do know where it comes from. It comes from the fact that people feel so weak about themselves, they want to make someone else feel weaker than they do. Their life is so miserable, they're lower than whale dung in the ocean. That's where they are at. And it doesn't get any, maybe a squid is lower. I don't know. I'm not that much. I don't see that on the National Geographic too much. Now, a revelation just occurred. My God, you better, oh, I'm sorry for saying God. You just better sit down for this one. Put your seatbelt on. If you're a big person and needs the extended seatbelt, like on airplanes, get ready. Kids are getting drugs, prescription drugs, from the family medicine cabinet. Oh, my God. The study just came out. The reports are out. The research is done. The data has been collected. The root cause analysis of kids using drugs, they're getting it from their family medicine cabinet. Right? Little do we remember that we, as the older generation, when we wanted beer, wine, or some liquor, was ever in the liquor cabinet, we went to our parents' liquor cabinet or wherever they stored it, and we got it there. So now, and no one needed to do research and spend money, probably our money, some think tank probably went out and did some research on that, or some college got a grant, or some head jockey got a grant, something which is tax money we pay for, to come out and say, wow, we know the kids are getting this stuff from their parents' medicine cabinet or their family medicine cabinet. Very simple way to figure that out. Why don't you just ask the kid? Straight up, ask the kid. They'll tell you. Maybe they're not that honest in other things, but they'll tell you where they're getting it from, right? And you don't have to be a genius to figure out where they're getting it from, right? Well, no matter how they take it. Now, it came out on a TV commercial as well, right? I don't know much. In fact, I'm writing a book about things I don't know. It's endless. One thing I do know a little about is color. I have seen red, hundreds of shades of red, mainly in lipstick, nail polish, and paint. Not that I wear that stuff. Red paint, not so much, but lipstick. But I do have a wife and daughter, and so we go shopping when they were young. Our daughter was younger, so I saw all the reds, thousands of different colors. I don't know who the person whose job it is to name them all, right? I have seen black, cars, nighttime, piano keys. I have seen yellow, the sun, and egg yolks. I have seen white, paper, walls, the moon. See, there's beautiful color in nature. Yet, I have never seen people those colors. I have lived with whites. Why do whites want to be darker all the time? I got to work on my tan. I got to get to the salon. I got to go lay on the beach and put all this stuff on me to attract the sun to make me darker, right? I have lived with blacks in the neighborhood, in the military, and at school. I have lived with yellow. I was stationed in Asia for 3 years during military service. I have visited with the red, supposedly red, out west, in the western part of these good old United States of America, where they all started on the East Coast and then ended up as alcoholics on the West Coast, sitting in the reservations. But we gave them casinos, so that's some form of retribution. Yet with all these experiences I have, I've never seen color in people, right? Whites are tan, beige, or shades thereof, depending on your skin tone. Blacks are some form of brown or shade thereof. Red and yellow makes orange, I think, artistically, which gives us vitamin C. Or is it C or C? S-E-E or S-E-A? I don't know. English is a very difficult language to learn. You know? I think the only people who have actual black hair, pure black hair, are Eskimo folks. But I need to do more research. So what it all means is, why do we even consider color? Well, I mean, there's African Americans who are not black or brown. They come from South Africa. They live in Africa. They're American citizens. They're African Americans. We don't even go there. Why is there so much involvement with color, race, all this stuff? Because people are weak. They feel threatened and intimidated, like the bully bosses. Someone might take my spot because of something else. No, that's not true. If you're that good, you'll get and retain what you deserve. Most times, hopefully, people get what they do deserve, good and bad. So let's put away the color scheme out there. Throw away the spectrum. Look at a rainbow. It's beautiful. Paint a picture yourself. Look at art. Go to a museum. Create art of some kind. We talked about that in A Way to Fight Boredom, the enemy of us all. How needy are we that our lives have been reduced to a picture? Hey, look at me. Here I am. This is my lunch. Here's me holding up my dog, who I just picked up his stuff from, carrying in a bag, so don't shake my hands. Just give me a tap or a dap or a pound or an elbow or a wrist thing, something, but don't shake my hand. I don't even have gloves on. This is me looking at the phone camera. This is me, me, me. I have to out there. I'm so insecure. I have nothing going on in my life that I have to put a picture of my lunch or something else out there. It looks like gloppity glop anyway. This is me in my new clothes. Who cares? Right? Go out and do something. We don't really care. Life is not like a picture. You know, a picture says 1,000 words. It also says a lot more about character. And most of us have character flaws because we don't know who we are. We haven't become empowered. We haven't critically thought about who we are. We just follow along. And the same folks who do all that stuff are the ones using cliches. And we're looking for comments. Right? Especially on this Facebook thing. You look for comments for whatever you're posting is your picture. Right? Here's my new nail polish. Right? Here's my boat. Who cares? Right? Who cares? Paint your own nails and paint someone else's nails. Make a social thing of it in your home. Or go to the beauty shop, which is a social place as well, like the barbershop. Oh, well. So I like a lot of people looking at me, so that's why I put pictures on there. It all sounds like we're three-year-olds at a birthday party, seeking out attention. We're so needy. Let's get moving away from that. Let's become empowered, independent, individually thinking with liberty and justice for all, critically thinking about who we are and what we're doing. Did I mention we played ball tonight? We only had 10 guys, and we only needed 10 to play full court. It's a small gym. We could have played 4-on-4, but 10 guys showed up because another storm, minor storm, hit us today. But schools were closed for President's Day. Some schools around the snow-hit areas use these President's Weekend days, the Monday and Tuesday or Friday and Monday, whenever they head off, as makeup days so they don't have to go to school in June or in July because, you know, the school snow days are so critical in the life of parents and kids, not kids, but schools and all, because they got to get their days in, they got to get their minutes in. And when you talk to kids after the first or second week of June, the last 2 weeks until school's out, they watch movies all day. Once the testing is done, the grades are in, what do? You show them movies. But we're worried about those snow days. People are panicking because they have to change their plans. So we played ball. We had 10 guys. The school was closed today. But, you know, you have to be connected out there. One of the guys is connected in the town where the school is, made a phone call, and we got the gym tonight because there was some kind of board or committee meeting. The gym was open, and they let us old guys play, which was nice because we missed several days of our game night because concert performances or theater performances or things like that. So we missed them. So now they gave us a shot at making it up, and it was good. But we had 10 guys. We ran around for an hour, hour and a half, got a good sweat, got a good burn. Guys were tired, achy, hurting, coming into the gym. Why? Been shoveling snow and pushing cars and chopping ice all over the place. But we still needed to burn, to sweat, to run, have that physical contact, to get those endorphins going. You know, I remember my dad, when we started to play tennis, he was sedentary most of life. When he retired, we started to hit a tennis ball around in the street, and we graduated to the playground, bought our own tennis net. They took them down at the school, but the pole stayed up, so we played every day for an hour before supper. When I got home from school and Pop was retired, we went out, we played. He'd come home, he'd say, you know, I'm tired, I ache, but I feel good. Yeah, you're doing your body justice. You're doing good things for yourself. The good things are kicking in. The brain is releasing what the good stuff makes you feel. It's the natural high. They used to call it runner's high. You can reach it doing various biological and physical things to get you going. And when you reach it, boy, it is euphoric and you feel good. Yes, I know. It's tantamount to the big O that we always seek out. It's usually easier for men to achieve than women, and women hopefully can get there with the proper encouragement, especially if their partner is using the little blue pill, so he can get all in, another cliche. President's Day, though, has been reduced to a day off for the kids and whatever, for the families, if they can get away. And also another reason or excuse, actually, because remember, there's a difference between reasons and excuses. The excuse to go to the mall and save 50 to 75% on stuff you really don't need, but it's so cheap, I have to buy one. If it's that cheap, I'm going to buy two or more, and I'll save them. I won't use them or wear them. How many of you have multiple pieces of clothes and garments in your closet with the tags still on them, right? So it's just another reason to get a sale and keep going. By the way, presidents, I read a list of some kind. Some of them were very wealthy, right? Washington was worth $525 million. Jefferson, $212 million. Teddy Roosevelt, $125 million. This is way back in their day when it's probably worth about 12 cents today. Andrew Johnson, $119 million. James Madison, $101 million. Most of them got it through land ownership because you can get rich by working. Marriage, you can win the lottery, maybe this week, I'll win it. The Powerball is a big one this week, go out and play. You can get lucky in business and so forth with the right connections and contacts and through stock ownership and so forth, but you get wealthy through real estate. And these five men were wealthy in their time because they were all big landowners, probably among other things as well. And that's the way to do it. Speaking of millions, I'm working on my fifth million. I missed the first four. I never give up. That's the attitude you have to have when you're empowered. I'm out there playing at my age, running around on bum legs, no knees, feet that hurt. I'm wearing insoles. I'm doing everything I can. I put rubbing stuff to heat up my knees and legs. It doesn't really help, but I'm out there. I'm never going to give up until the time I know it's ready when I'm going to give up. And I was taught many years ago that the time you're ready to retire is the day you wake up and you don't feel like going to work. So that's a little bit about the presidents and their money situation. I hope there's some kids out there who are taking advantage of all the snow, especially if you're living in the northern part and the midwestern part of the country, by going out and grabbing a shovel and making some money. Because the life lessons you learn through work are just as a youth are just as significant as those you learn playing, right? With work, you learn to respect money. You don't have to wait till you're in a bind. You learn how to avoid and reduce and keep away debt, which is one of the nastiest four-letter words we have. Although people seem to revel in it because look at their credit card bills or what they owe. So they can do this on their own. And when they stop shoveling snow this season, maybe in the summer, those same people will come around and say, hey, why don't you cut my grass? Blood donations. You know, I've been a blood donor for many years. I haven't gone in the past couple months because I've had some procedures done which require needles to be put in my body for cortisone shots and dental work and so forth. So you can't go for a while. But I figured out a way, a simple way. Remember, simple works best, and I am the master of simple. I am the simplest simplicity simpleton. Five times a year, you can give blood every 56 days. I think it's five or six times. To get people motivated, inspired, and into the blood banks, just give them a receipt for $25 that they can take as a credit off their tax. Nobody's losing any money. Their taxes are so high anyway, $25 will not hurt. And so if you do it five times a year, that's $125 a year off the top of my head without a calculator. I did that, I think, correctly. So you can take a tax credit, and that way the blood banks at hospitals will not be short, especially the holiday season when it's critical, when people don't go because they're too busy indulging in things and shopping for things they really don't need in their life. But we get caught up in the spirit and the joy, and we revel in the holiday. By the way, when there's a blood drive in your town, whether it's the community, whether it's a religious organization, whether it's a youth organization, and they bring a truck around with tables and they take your blood and all, they sell that to hospitals. I just found that out about a year ago. So people are out thinking that they're doing a good thing, but the people, you know, they get a cookie and a glass of juice, which you get at the blood bank anyway at a hospital. The hospitals have to buy that blood from people who are portraying themselves as goodwill ambassadors by getting blood donated by the citizens of the community. But they're really selling it, right? They are really selling it. Boom. The only time I notice height is when I go to the movies or a theater or a concert. Because I guarantee the guy who sits in front of me is the tallest guy in the building, in the audience, I should say. Never fails. Went to a couple shows in the past few weeks with my wife, and boom, everything was fine. We had a good line of sight. Everything was open. The door closed. Show started. Here comes the latecomer. Plop down right in front of me. And they never slouch down. Do me a favor, tall folks, right? Take a look around and see who you are infringing upon. We don't want to start any scene out there, but we paid our money too, right? And you don't have to eat. We went to a show the other day, and they're selling food that you can and drinks with ice cubes in it during a play, and people are slurping up their juice or soda or something and jiggling the ice to get it to melt so they can chomp on that and bite on the ice to relieve their frustrations. Right in the theater. Can't we go 2 hours without stuff in our face? You can't ride in an airplane without goodies or snacks. People bring their own meals and so forth. You can buy stuff in there and drinks. How bad is it to fly in an airplane if you got to get numb to experience it? Whether it's prescription medicine, which is getting stolen by the kids at home, so be careful with that, or alcohol. What is going on that we can't go 2 hours without indulging in something? And the bathroom, too, because if you're going to take in, you got to let out. Then we wonder why obesity is such a problem in the world. And besides, in addition to that, the girth has expanded over the past generation or two. And the theaters, many of them, they're old. And the seats are like they were in elementary school when you went to school. And they just can't fit, and they overlap. And they bring three or four jackets and a scarf and a hat and gloves and a big bag. Where the heck is all the space? Right? You should buy two seats, like some of the people have to do on the airplane we mentioned before, the extended seatbelt. Well, there's another way to keep us fixated in front of the rectangular brainwashing box so we can hear Nancy Grace and all those folks screaming at us all day about things we have no business even watching or knowing about or caring about, but we're so empty in our life, that's what we do. That's entertainment. Why are capital trials on TV? Because people say, wow, I'm glad that's not me. Just like the weather, they watch the weather channels, wow, I'm glad that's not me. What is going on that we have, our lives are so empty? We have to take a picture, put it on Facebook. We have to watch all these screaming people on TV who are rude and crude and don't let someone else finish their piece when they're talking. They just interrupt. And if you let me finish, well, yeah, let me finish. I'm not finished yet for another 15 minutes. I know the engineer is happy to hear that, and I'm on time. It's just a damn shame we can't. You know, when you start doing online TV, we're going to be able to watch on the iPads and the phones and all other portable mobile devices. We're going to be able to watch any show or movie or whatever they're offering. We can watch whatever we want, whenever we want, with whomever we want, wherever we want. And that is a sign of addiction. Because when people are addicted, they do what they want to do, when they want to do it, where they want to do it, and with whom they want to do it, sometimes alone, which the little rectangular black brainwashing box does. It isolates us. There's no sense of community. We're not sharing anything. Barney teaches you to share. We're not doing that. We're just fixated and isolated on that screen. So it's another addictive thing that's going to need a rehab for eventually, like carpal tunnel needs a rehab for people who are keyboarding all the time or are texting or that elbow thing I talked about a few weeks ago from people scrolling. They use the forefinger to scroll and the residual pain goes down the arm into the elbow area and they have discomfort. And like the old joke, they go to the doctor and says, "Doc, it hurts when I do that." And hopefully the doctor says, "Don't do that," right? So it sounds like some form of addiction. Valentine's Day just passed and I came up with a discovery. I've often thought about it, but this year, for several reasons, not excuses, mostly the reasons were due to nature, I couldn't make accommodations for my wife as I normally do. But for Valentine's Day this year, I didn't get the flowers until the next day. And they were reduced by like 30-40%. They didn't look any worse for wear. Another cliche, worse. They look pretty good, so I bought them. And I became a little bit of a hero. The candy on the second or third day, on the 15th or 16th, it's half price. You buy twice as much. You're a giant hero. A little bit of candy goes a long way, right? And on the third day, the 16th and 17th, I saw some flowers at the market, 70% off. So the $80 original price was reduced to $50, and then it was down to $20. So you could be a real hero. So if you space it out over, make it a three-day event, on Valentine's Day, you just go out for supper, make a nice dinner, do something sort of romantic, and then bring the flowers the next day and the candy the next day, you'll be a giant hero. Struggling with recovery? Be a kid. Climb a tree. Paint your face. Ride a bike. No need for confidentiality and anonymity. Let it out. Tell the world. You don't have to sit in the corner crunched up and curled, afraid to be known. Look at you now, you're full grown. No skills to hone. Lots of frustrations, denials, and groans. You are alone. You don't have to be that. You can become empowered. You can do good things for yourself. Get up, get out, and get going. Get off the couch. Get out of the house. Become empowered. The number one excuse, which explains failure, as we say, reasons to find success. The number one excuse for divorce, of course, we know, is marriage. Half the marriages end in divorce. That's been well known. I don't know if it's true, but it's been stated, cliche-ish, for many, many years, that half of marriages end in divorce, which often fractures families, just as kids, when their negative behaviors and downward spiral out of control began, and you'll hear when my parents divorced. There have not been studies, I guess, because same sex or same gender. I don't like to say sex. They're same gender people because sex is a verb. It should be a verb. If you're doing it right, you can get all in. I don't know. I guess there haven't been enough longitudinal studies done to see how that community has the divorce rate there. They've probably been together for many years, probably hidden away. But now that things are more open and there's a higher awareness of it, let's keep data and see if their group is any different than the other group, the more accepted group. Bullying may have lasting effects on kids. Another tremendous study that came out. They studied these things, that bullying may have effects on long, everlasting effects on kids. They have all the data, the statistics, the root cause analysis. But just like North Korea, did you read about that North Korea report that the UN just published? They finally have a document that says atrocities are going over there. Extermination of their own people is going on over there. And who is doing anything about that? Why did we have to wait all these years? Probably been going on well before the Korean conflict of the 50s. Not a war. It wasn't declared. It was probably going on well before that by these psychos who were in charge. Remember, I said, we got to get the psychos off the streets. They're harmful. You got to put the marijuana people out on the streets. They're docile, more passive. Give them a chocolate cookie, they're fine. But they're not killing off masses of people like this nut job over in North Korea. What are we doing about that? Where are the leaders? Or are they all the same and just doing it in different ways? And this guy's just overt about it. It's kind of scary out there, folks. But the new study says that bullying may have long-lasting health effects on kids. That meant they were usually being physically pushed around, teased, at least once a week. Once a week? How about once an hour? Once every class period in school? Kids living in fear, right? Kids living in fear. That's a terrible thing, right? How can you function when you have fear hanging over your head? How can you function that way and be productive? No wonder why they're all on meds, right? That's terrible. Terrible, terrible thing. Found kids were bullied, and the report, more physical problems, difficulty playing sports, running, or doing normal kid things. I don't even think kids know what normal kid things are, unless we tell them. They had more depression and lower self-esteem. No kidding. When you're badgered and harassed, just like the bully bosses we talk, it's the same mentality. What are we doing about it, right? It's terrible. If you want to see examples of that, just go see all the guys on the Big Bang Theory and read about the football player down in for Miami, and you'll see that's the bully, and these guys on the Big Bang Theory are the ones who were bullied. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. What are we doing about it? Letting the bullies get away with it. That's what's happened. And then they turn into leaders out there who bully and harass employees and subordinates and then wipe out and exterminate the people of their own country. It's terrible. It's a damn shame. In the old days, a kid came home, he had bad grades, was doing poorly in school. The parents were the one to take charge and intervene and take control. Today, they blame it on the teacher. Because it's not my fault. I give my kid to you. But what did you give me? Did you give me someone who is prepared, who comes to school nurtured, fed, clean, not abused, regular, the kid who plays, who understands interaction, socialization? What did you give me to work with? What's my product, right? So it's terrible that kids have to go through that bully stuff and we let it happen. People have to relocate. Do you know that? People relocate. They move. They move to a different town because of the bully. I have to say this. There was a woman who was charged with six counts of murder, right? A deadly crash. Killed her sister and five others. She could face life up in prison. Unlike the kid in Texas who suffered from affluenza. We'll see if this lady gets probation and some time in a rehab and maybe a fine the way this kid did. Maybe because he only took out four people, she took out six. Maybe the penalties are stiffer. What's going on? We'll see. Where is he equally treated? Where of people? Where are the consequences going to be doled out, and how will they be doled out? Perfect is a myth. It doesn't exist. Striving for perfection will lead you in the wrong direction. You'll still need a blue pill to maintain a four-hour erection. Get up, get out, get going. Get yourself in physical, mental, emotional, spiritual shape. It's not too late. Please don't procrastinate and hesitate. It's the one regret you'll never forget. You were smart, strong, and wise. With your life, you will exercise. Don't worry about your size. It's one of life's natural highs, right? A natural high, a power poem. Do something good for yourself. Like right now, we're going to get into some power words we started in the past few weeks. Power words this week, we're going to have four or five of them, maybe one more if there's time. Resiliency. Shake it off. It only hurts if you let it hurt. There's no pain when you win. Things will happen that will set you back if you let them set you back. You may be told something hurtful, but the hurt only exists if you let it. Get rid of it and the negative energy that goes with it. Be bigger than the hurt by not stooping to that level of pain. I have pain every time I get up, and when I play, it hurts more. But I've learned to endure that. Because what you can't cure, you got to endure. And that's what separates people from those who are making excuses, from those who are giving you reasons for their success. Repetition. It's the assembly line mindset, doing the same thing over and over again. That's how most learning takes place. Working towards your goal requires repetition. That is your motivation. Think of how much pain was endured, bloodshed, and tears cried for the sake of success. When you win, the pain is much more bearable than when you don't. Ask an athlete, musician, or parent. Musicians practice till they bleed, their fingers, their hands, drummers, guitarists, right? Parents, hearts cry for their kids, right? By having to repeat the same thing over and over again. But when that success comes, when the kid can use the potty by himself and tie his own shoelace, fantastic. You've done your job and you've empowered your kid. An athlete, it doesn't hurt when you win. It only hurts when you don't win. And that's when the excuses come out. You see guys almost, they look like, oh my God, we're losing. I'm going to fake it. I'm limping. Oh yeah. You see it all the time. Courage. Do you have what it takes to withstand all that will come your way while you pursue your goal? Yes, you do, because you believe it. And that's all that matters. Believing in yourself to be able to do what you want to do. Never giving up. Getting a hit, getting knocked down, getting back up. Organization. There's two kinds of people. One has a neat, tidy, organized desk with everything in its place. The other has things scattered all over. There's no right or wrong. Both can find things, and both get a little crazy when they can't. Whichever you are, be that person. You'll function and perform at a higher efficiency level. Ask a home run hitter to bunt and what happens. He gets frustrated and takes it out into the field where he loses focus and concentration because of his less than successful attempt, and then he makes an error in the field. For the same reason, don't ask the singles hitter to crank one out, hit a home run, swing for the fences. That will work on rare occasions. The rule is, go with your strength and comfort level. An organized leader never asks someone to do something the leader would not do themselves. An organized leader, a leader, a true leader, is out there on the floor, involved, available to people who are working for him or her. That's what leadership is, not hiding in the corner. Patience. Things take time. Wait your turn, and when the time is right, be prepared to succeed. Avoid the microwave mentality, and you serve yourself better than if you want and expect things done yesterday. This is true especially for people in recovery. They think and go into a rehab like the celebrities do, stay in 3 or 4 days, come out, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm cured, boom, right back down on their face again. And we condone it. We almost encourage it because our lives are so miserable, we have to lead them through celebrity or people of notoriety or someone of who's well-known other than the neighbor, the family member, the coworker, who can really be of benefit to our individual life, but we don't take the time, we don't go the extra mile, we don't put the work in to make things happen. That's not good. That's not healthy, right? Not healthy at all. So we have stamina. Since things take time, be prepared for the long haul. Prepare for the big three for overtime, and be happy when things happen on time. Prepare yourself to go the distance and maybe a little bit more. Do what you do best and a little bit more. You'll be successful sooner than you think. The big three, as I just mentioned in that short statement, head, your brain, your mind, your heart, your pump, the pulse, your gut, your belly, your feelings, your intuition. Those working all together lead to an empowered individual, an empowered person. Because when they work in harmony, you win. When they don't, when one is out of whack, when one is not working properly, you don't win. And that's when you start coming up with excuses. Not good. So empower yourself. Use the power words. Use some critical thinking. Ask yourself, where were you, where was I between 4 and 5? Where was I between 4 and 5? There's only one answer. There's only one answer. You were in kindergarten or preschool, but you were in kindergarten. Now, if you were critically thinking, you know, we're sort of ending the show with a critical thinking brain buster, which is okay. We don't have to be so structured that we can't deviate. By the way, the story about the neat desk and the one who's got stuff all over, if you go back and watch old TV shows or the movie, that's the Odd Couple. One was neat, one was not neat, and they made it work because they needed each other. They bounced off each other. It happens. Things can work out. No one has to have the advantage over anyone else. We can accept and be open and keep an open mind about that. You know, bad neighbors, that's a different story, right? Different people who don't treat their people with respect and dignity get what's coming to them in the end. Anyway, that's our show for tonight. I'm going to make like I'm going to make like a tree and let a leaf fly off. Last week, I made like a hockey player, and I got the puck out of here. This is Marty Ford. Power up your power, because the power is in you.